ॐ शुक्लाम्बरधरं विष्णुं शशिवर्णं चतुर्भुजं प्रसन्नवदनं ध्यायेत् सर्वविघ्नोपशान्तये सरस्वती नमस्तुभ्यं वरदे कामरूपिणी दिव्यारम्भं करिष्यामि सिद्धिर्भवतु मे सदा येनाक्षरसमाम्नायम् अधिगम्य महेश्वरात् कृष्णं व्याकरणं प्रोक्तं तस्मै पाणिनये नमः वाक्यकारं वररुचिं भाष्यकारं पतञ्जलिं पाणिनीसूत्रकारं च प्रणनोऽस्मि मुनित्रयम् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति. Pull out a book, we're on page left off on page 13, I think. 13. And we're just beginning the section, middle of the page, of the written 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines down, Bhakti Prayatna. We're now starting on the Bhakti Prayatna. We went through the Abhyantara Prayatna, internal effort. Now we're doing, he's discussing the external effort. Okay. Ready? So repeat after me. Is everybody with me on page, right page there? Okay. Are you there? Yeah. Okay, flying down, Bhatia. I'll read it with a sentence.
I think we were.
Bhatia Priyatna?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, right? I have a marker here.
Okay.
Does everybody else have the same mark? Okay. Bhatia Priyatna, huh?
Bhatia Priyatna.
Tu Eka Dashadha.
Tu Eka Dashadha.
Vivaraha samvaraha shwasaha.
Vivaraha samvaraha shwasaha.
Nadaha ghoshaha aghoshaha.
Nadaha ghoshaha aghoshaha.
Alpapranaha.
Alpapranaha.
Mahapranaha.
Mahapranaha.
Udataha anudataha swaritaha cha iti.
Udataha anudataha swaritaha.
Chaiti.
Chaiti.
Everybody see the sandhi there? Any problems? Yeah. Bhakti Priyatnaha, external effort. Two. Whereas external effort is ekadasha dha, is 11-fold. Ekadasha is 11. Da means it has 18 types, 18 kinds. So we might just say that da affix, 18 ways, 18 kinds. It's an indeclinable affix that can go after, like sarvada. Sarvada means in all ways, in all different ways, in all kinds of ways. Ekadasha is 11. Ekadasha da is 11 ways, 11 types, 11 kinds. So there are 11 types of external effort. Okay. What are they? Dash. Vivadaha, samvadaha, and shwasaha. Actually, these, I don't even remember how these are translated. I handed you out a handout where actually Brahma Prakashananda actually translated the how these are actually used. Maybe we should look for that. Does anybody have that handout?
Yeah.
Just to be thorough.
Oh, yeah, no, what I mean is I had actually given
the first one to the very first one. Yeah.
I forgot this. Let me see.
Here it is.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's her translation.
It's my translation.
Oh, there's yours, but you want hers.
No, but I mean, I just took from her.
Oh,
well, there's no mine anymore.
The first piece of translation.
This
one?
Yeah.
What about this? Let me see.
Yeah.
Oh, this will do. Yeah.
She talks about slightly open, slightly closed.
Here we go. If you look on, you know that I...
It's also this one.
Yeah, it's there too.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just try and get the translation straight. I'll even mark it here. I've never been able to remember these. And in fact, when I asked her, she couldn't remember either, because they actually have to do with how these sounds are made, and they go as a threesome, like a combination, right? So, for instance, if you look down, just for now, let's talk about this for a minute. On the bottom of page 13, if you take a look, do you see where it says, on the very, very bottom row, you'll see Vivarash, Vivaraha, Shwasaha, Agoshaha, Agoshaha. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same chart. Oh, yeah. Okay, that's fine. But I'm looking in our book right now. So in our book, it is the same chart. But if you see how it says for the ka, these are hard consonants, right?
Mm-hmm.
The ka and ka group are hard consonants. Hard consonants are Ulpa Prana, Maha Prana. That we know what that is, aspirate, non-aspirate, and aspirate. But they're also Vivara, Shwasa, and Agosha. All hard consonants are. So now for translation, this translation is from her. Vivara, vocal cords are more open. Shwasa, the air goes out. Agoshaha, the sound that doesn't resonate in the nasal cavities. So these three are three characteristics of hard consonants. So it's nice to learn what they mean. I have to learn what they mean and remember what they mean. That's a problem.
In the nasal cavity?
It says, her translation is this. So Vivara, vocal cords are open. Shwasa, the air goes out. Agosha, sound doesn't resonate in the nasal cavity. Okay. Then she has for the, look over to the soft consonants where it says, how this chart has it, it has the ga and na next because those are ulpa pranas, right? The ga and na are ulpa pranas. So this chart put those together because they say in terms of the bahya prayatna, both of these are ulpa prana, they're samvara, nada, and gosha. And for that translation, samvara is slight contraction of the vocal cords. Nada is a dull metallic sound. I didn't really know what she meant by that, and we tried experimenting and saying the sound and trying to see how it was metallic. And at one point I said, oh, okay, that's what...
Whatever.
And I did kind of hear it, but not really. Then gosha, the sound resonates in the nasal cavities, you know, and so you might list these, you know, and try to memorize them and see what they might mean just by saying the letters. That's what I did. I don't have any deeper understanding of it than that. But just for the sake of being able to read this, let's see what it says. The bahya prayatna are 11-fold. External effort is 11-fold. Everybody see that in the book? What are the external efforts? Vivara and samvara. This is open and contracted. Shwasa, and if you see, if you're looking down here, you can see how these are kind of, in a sense, opposites. Shwasa and nada. Gosha and Agosha. So everybody see in the bottom of the chart there how that is? So now the book has just gone through those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then Ulpa Prana and Maha Prana. Aspirate, non-aspirate, and aspirate. And then Udata, Anudata, Swarita. Right? Udata is the high tone, Anudata is the low tone, Swarita is the combination. But in terms of marking by height, high tone That's how it's translated. We looked at the verses, didn't we? Uchahi udataha. Uchahi udataha nichahi anudataha samahara swaritaha. We looked at those sutras. So with the udata is the high tone, anudata is the low tone. Swarita is actually made by a combination of those two. Everybody remember how the udata is marked? There's no mark. Anudata has a vertical line underneath, horizontal line underneath, and swarita has a vertical line on top. So these are in reference to the vowels. So opa prana, maha prana, udata, anudata, swarita. Okay? Cha. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. There they are. So repeat after me. Karaha, vivaraha, shwasaha, akoshaha, cha.
Shwasaha.
Agoshaha, cha. Everybody see the sandhi? Karaha, vivaraha, shwasaha, agoshaha, cha. What is kara? The pratyahara kara.
Oh.
You know what we didn't do?
Aspirates.
Yeah,
let's do it.
You think that's going to help?
That'll help us. Yeah,
well.
Ready?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're all looking.
Everybody ready? Ayum, relic, ayon, ayaj, hayavarat, lan, nyamangananam, japang, gagadash, Jabagadadash, ka pa cha ta ta cha ta ta, kapai shasasara hal. Okay. So, iti maheshwarani sutrani. Okay? So what is kara? What is the kara group?
Aspirants,
hard consonants.
It's the hard consonants.
Yeah, they're the hard consonants, right?
Ka. And
sibilants are hard.
Right.
Shasa sutra, right? Notice how the hull is left out because hull is actually soft.
Right.
That's why shasa sutra hull. So ka pa cha ta ta cha ta ta ka pai shasa sutra hull. Okay. So hard consonants karaha. Nominative, plural for cutter. The hard consonants, cutter group, okay, are what? Vivaraha, nominative, plural. Open, shwasaha, breathing out, and agoshaha, something or other. Whatever we said that meant. Okay. Clear?
It's a little confusing to me that we say that the Bahu Prayatna are actually 11 categories. However, none of the no alphabet.
There are 11 types, not categories. There are 11 types of Bahu Prayatna. There are 11 types of external effort.
11 types of external effort, but we need a combination of three external efforts in order to categorize.
That's right. Like these three external efforts, these three things are necessary in producing a hard consonant. And also, some hard consonants will be those three, and also alpa prana and maha prana.
Right, exactly. It's not like there are 11 types, and you know, some consonants are just this one type.
That's right. That's right. Everybody okay with this?
Mm-hmm.
Now let's do the next. Repeat after me. Hashaha sambaraha nadaha ghoshaha cha.
Hashaha sambaraha nadaha.
Good. So, what is hush?
It's all the softness, including the nasals.
That's right. Nasals are soft. Let's hear the Pratyahara hush. What are the members?
Hayavarat.
Lang. Nyamangana nam. Jabang. Gathadash. Jabagadash. Right? Jabagadash. Good. So that's hush. So you start learning cutter, hard consonants, you know? Yeah. Cutter, hard consonants, hush, soft consonants. The soft consonants, hushaha, nominative, singular, nominative, plural, are samvadaha, nominative, plural, nadaha, goshaha. Okay? If you look down, again, just to check this out, at the bottom of the page of the book, do you see all of these listed? Mm-hmm. What I wanted to point out, just in case it's confusing, notice the abbreviations, like in the first column, opa, the pra, that's obvious, right? Opa prana, maha prana. See what I mean? The bottom row, the first column of the bottom row where it says pra. Mm-hmm. You ready to see that? Opa prana, maha prana. And then vivar, shwasa, gosha, that's fine. Then the next, alpa prana, no problem. But next one, maha prana. And those three are fine. Next one, alpa prana, those three are fine. Next one, maha prana, those three below are fine. And now, do you see the next one for ha? Maha prana, samvara, nada, and gosha. You see that abbreviation? Everybody with me on that? Underneath ha?
I have no idea where you went. All right. I got lost a while ago.
Here, I'm talking about this.
Yeah.
This is...
I said...
So you can see it. Okay. This is Opa Prana, Maha
yeah, yeah,
Prana.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Now, but we're all the way here.
Yeah.
Maha Prana,
yeah.
Opa Prana, Maha Prana. But now look at this. Maha Prana.
Right.
Samvaraha.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Nadaha. It's an abbreviation.
Right,
I just want to
make
gosha.
Otherwise,
yeah.
It couldn't fit in the table.
Exactly,
right.
It wouldn't fit.
Right. I remember seeing that before, but I just got lost.
So I just want to make sure that everybody was clear on that. Okay. And then you see the last column on the bottom row is udata, anudata, swaritaha. Those are for the vowels. The vowels can be these. Okay. We're not even dealing with the nasals yet. That'll come later. Okay, let's go on. Repeat after me. Vardhanam.
Vardhanam.
Pratama, Tritiya, Panchamaha.
Pratama, Tritiya, Panchamaha.
Yanaha, Cha, Alpapranaha. Okay. Now, what this is, a varga is a group. So, like for the gutturals are a varga, sibilants are a varga, semivowels are a varga. So, varganam, among the groups, the pratama, first.
Genitive,
yeah. So that you can say among the groups, okay? Or of the. Among the groups, pratama, first letters, tritiya, third letters, panchama, fifth letters. What are first letters? They're from the ku down to the ku groups, right? Mm-hmm. First letter would be what?
Hard.
Third
is hard.
What? Pratama is hard and aspirate. Mm-hmm. What is tritiya?
Mm-hmm.
Soft and aspirate. What is Panchama.
Nasal, soft, non-aspirate.
Nasal, non-aspirate. So what do these have in common? They're all non-aspirates.
Yeah.
First letters, the you know, ka-cha-ta-ta-pa. First letters, third letters, and fifth letters are the nasals. What is yan? What's the pratyahara yan? Yeah. Because look at Hayavarat, lun. Get rid of the ha. So of the hayavarat, lun. Get rid of the ha, and you've got all of the semi-vowels. Ya is the second member of hayavarat. Everybody clear on that? Okay, so semi-vowels. So what does this say? Of all the different groups, the first letters, third letters, fifth letters, and semi-vowels are upapranaha. Everybody see it? Are non-aspirates. Upapranas are non-aspirates. So everything, the up. So notice, also, vadaganam, of the groups, plural. Now notice this, pratama tritiya panchamaha is also plural. First letters, third letters, fifth letters, of all of the groups, and the semi-vowels, okay, among the groups, they are all upapranaha. Let's do the next one. Vadaganam, tritiya chaturtau, shalascha, mahapranaha. Of the groups, again, second and fourth, dual, right? That's a dual compound.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because two, the second letters and fourth letters, shalascha. What is shal?
It's the sibilance and the aspirate.
The sibilance and ha. Sibilance and ha, right? Shesa sutter hal. Mahapranaha. Yeah, aspirates. So second letters, fourth letters, sibilance and ha are mahaprana. Ready, see? So we're just learning the labels now. Repeat after me. Kadyaha mavasanaha sparshaha.
Kadyaha mavasanaha sparshaha.
Ka adiyaha. Beginning with ka. That which begins with ka. The letter ka. Ma. The makara. Ma. Avasanaha, that which ends with ma. Beginning with ka, ending with ma, sparshaha. Those are sparsha letters.
See, when it says kadeya, it's ka adi, but it's putting it in the nominative. Is that why it's doing kadeya?
Nominative plural.
Kadeya.
The letters begin, yeah. Right. The letters beginning with ka and ending with. Avasana means ending, closing, finishing,
right.
With ma. So if you take this, the ku group starts with ka, and it ends, the last letter of the box, all the way through for that box, going all the way from ku to ma, from ka to ma, that whole group of letters are called sparsha. Why? Because there's full contact. They're sprishta, right? Sprishta means there's a full contact. You can't pronounce those letters by themselves. So the technical name is sparsha. So if you look, again, at the chart, at the...
It's leaving out the ka, cha,
dha, dha, ha. Yeah, all. The ka group through the nasal. All the way through. See where it says? Go down to the chart and then we'll go back. Do you see the second row in the chart at the bottom where it says sparshaha? You see that?
Yeah.
Look at what's included. Ka, ka, ga, ga, na. Why did they put this out of order? You're not used to seeing the nasal there. It's because it's just so that they could do this upaprana.
Right, but when they come to the sparsha category and the way that it describes it, starting with ko and ending with ma, they mean it in the regular order.
They mean it in the regular order. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is defective. So they were just trying to get their upapranas in, and
right.
Everybody understand that. But if you go from the ka through the ma, all of those letters are sprishta, means there's full contact. And so they have the name, technical name is sparsha. Okay? You with me?
I am with you.
Great.
Box of 25.
Yeah, that's right. That's good. Okay. Everybody see the Sanskrit here? Mm-hmm. Yanaha antastaha. Mm-hmm. Okay, what's yan?
Yan is a semi-vowel.
How you put lan? Yan. Okay. The pratyahara yan, nominative plural, are antastaha, which is the Sanskrit term for semi-vowels.
Mm-hmm.
And so the verb is just santi there. The verb is to be understood, right? Yanaha ar antastaha. Shalaha ushmanaha. What?
Why does it not say yanaha then?
Yanaha because yan. When you decline a word that ends in a consonant, it just takes the aha. It's like marut.
Maybe I'm being confused. Isn't it supposed to be plural nominative?
Yeah, like marut. It's a consonant ending noun.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So you have to decline it like a consonant. So nominative singular, nominative plural, sorry. Now, same thing. Shalaha ushmanaha. Mm-hmm. Repeat.
Shalaha ushmanaha.
Shal letters pratyahara. Shal is what?
Sibling.
Shasha and ha, right? Shasha sar ha. Sibilants are called ushmanaha. Mm-hmm. That's their technical term. Mm-hmm. Achaha swaraha. What does that say?
All the vowels are
called swaraha. Yeah. Ach is what?
All vowels.
All vowels. Ach. And swat, and this is their name. Swaraha, nominative plural. Vowels are swaras. The ach are swaras. They're vowels. If you look on your chart again, do you see where it says here swaraha? And then it includes all of the vowels. Mm-hmm. And underneath it'll say the udata anudata swaritaha in the chart, right?
Can I ask Becca for a second on the shal?
Mm-hmm.
That includes ha.
Yes.
And is ha ushma?
Yeah, it's considered a sibilant.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. It's just, but it's a little different, right? Because
Because it's not hard like the.
That's right. It's soft. Other ones.
Heating in a way.
What? That's a good question. I don't know, but
I guess I don't remember seeing it classified as. Ushma.
Have you ever seen a chart where it'll put it in with a sibilant line?
I do.
Yeah.
It's classified as
ushma. But still, there is that distinction that it isn't hard.
That is, and you'll see that distinction down in the chart here. You see that where the
shesasar
are.
Yeah, they set it off.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
They're both mahaprana. See that? Mm-hmm. Both are mahaprana. But one is the shesa sutra are hard and ha is soft.
Right.
Yes. Okay.
And some of the other outer efforts are distinct from sibilants also, if you look down. So there's several distinctions.
Like what? Tell me.
Well, it's
the vivar, shwas, and agosha.
It's nadaha. And the other siblings are shwasaha.
Oh, yeah. See, with that, if you look at all of the hard consonants, mm-hmm. all of them have this set.
Right.
You look at these kind of as a threesome.
Right.
Got it. Okay, good.
Well, the soft consonants,
I mean,
not the hard consonants.
Well, they all have their own.
Look at if you have the, like, k. Those are hard consonants, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, I mean, ha is the same category as the other softs for the external effort. Samara.
Yes, and the hakara has the same group for soft consonants.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Okay, good. All right, good. Now, do you know, I have a handout that some of you may have printed out. I was not able to put in the handout these marks. The Ardha Visarga marks. You have to go, if you've printed out the handout, you have to go put those in yourself. Okay? And it's the same, we'll see on the same on the next page.
Okay, let's start again.
Repeat after me. The Ardhadaptika with ka is actually pronounced like a half ka. So it'd be ek and ik. Okay? You don't have to repeat that. Go to the next page. So ik, itti. So say the itti.
Itti.
Ka, bhyam. Prak, Ardha Visarga, Sadrishaha, Jihwa Mulyaha. Okay. This says, with the iti, going back to the previous, where you say, where you see a sample of the ka and ka with the Ardha Visarga, that's called the Ardha Visarga, half Visarga, these signs, ka, ka, bhyam, prak, before ka and ka, prak is before, okay? Ardha Visarga Sadrishaha. The Ardha Visarga, which is Sadrishaha, the same Ardha Visarga, is Jihwa Mulya. They're giving you just what to call it. When you have this Ardha Visarga, this half Visarga, which is the two half circles like that, right? What is the name for that? What do we call the Ardha Visarga when it comes before a ka and a ka? It has a technical term. And that technical term is Jihwa Mulya. It means that which is made at the root of the tongue. Jihwa is tongue. Mulya is root. The mula is root. Mulya, that which is made at the root of the tongue. So, if you have the Ardha Visarga, the half Visarga, which is these two half moons that come before a ka or a ka, that has the technical term, technical name of Jihwa Mulya.
And the, what is the case? It's a dual case of the ka ka?
Yeah, because of the prak.
But what case is it?
I think prak, does prak govern, I'll have to look it up. I think it governs the ablative case, but I can look it up. So before the
prak,
before the prak, I think it's ablative, but I'll look it up. We can look it up in the dictionary to make sure. So the Ardha Visarga that comes before ka or ka, that is Jihwa Mulya, okay? Look at the next one. Does everybody understand that? Mm-hmm. So now if I say Jihwa Mulya, you know what that means, right? So the Sandhi rule, okay? The same, the if and if. Here's the Ardha Visarga before pa and pa, iti. So repeat after me now. Iti pa pa bhyam.
Iti pa pa bhyam.
Prak Ardha Visarga Sadrishaha. Upadmaniyaha.
Upadmaniyaha.
So here it says that which is the Ardha Visarga, which is which comes before pa and pa, that is called upadmaniya. I've never really known what that means. All I know, I know upadmaniya is the technical term for this, but I should actually look up the etymology and see what it means in the world. I think I'll do it right now. Let me take a second. All of these things that I've put off for years. This is why you should teach.
That's right.
But he said, yeah, really, I should be able to tell what that is. So, upadmaniya. Well, that's interesting. The aspirate visarga before the letters. Pa and pa. That's it.
That's yeah. Not so much for derivation.
Yeah. Let me go up a little and see if... this is kind of interesting. Upadma is the first parasmaipada, and it means to blow or breathe out. Excite by blowing. Fan.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Upadma as a noun, blowing upon, breathing, the effort of the voice, which gives rise to the sound upadmaniya.
Oh.
Oh, right?
Okay.
You see that?
So.
The effort of the, that's upadma as a noun. The effort of the voice which gives rise to the sound upadmaniya, below it says.
Uh-huh.
Then upadmanaha, it's a noun, it's a masculine noun, a lip. Blow and an upadmanam, blowing upon breathing.
For us, it sounds like palaf.
Yeah.
So it's the
letters
of going out.
Interesting. Okay, good. Okay. You know, in this sentence, I didn't really take the time. I guess I'll do that too for us. That sadrishaha. Sadrishaha usually means just like. It's like this. Yeah, but I couldn't see why they bothered with it. Let me just look and see if I'm missing something that I felt.
You
just put
the same in the fourth one part versus go and come.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, but now I'm, again, having a doubt. Unfortunately, who else has a little dictionary like this? No, I know, but do you have one?
Oh yeah. Is that up to?
Yeah.
Yes.
Just been noticing how small the.
It's getting smaller and smaller.
Right?
I
got this. I think Penny or somebody gave me this one. This helps. It does mean this. Like, resembling, similar, of the same rank, with genitive or locative, but usually in compound. Fit, right, suitable, comfortable, conformable, worthy, befitting, becoming. I don't know. You have to figure out a way to squeeze it into the sentence. That makes sense.
So just as or similarly? And it takes a genitive, you said?
Within a compound, though, yeah. Okay. Usually it says at the end of a compound, which is our situation here. The Aradhavisarga Sadrishaha, right? Really what you need here is the Ardhavisarga, which comes before the Kakha, is called Jihwa Mulya. And how to squeeze this Sadrishaha into it in a meaningful way, I'm not quite sure. If you figure it out, please tell me. But we know the general meaning of it. Okay. Ready to go? Aha iti achaha. Well, this is talking about the Anuswara and Visarga, right? Aha iti achaha.
I thought the rule was to pronounce it in the nasal of the following letter, right?
Yeah.
So for if a is the following letter, then O is in the same category, it's the ka ka ga ga ga.
But you know what? They're giving an example here of the Anuswara. They want you to learn what the Anuswara is. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all it is. Okay, so let's read the rest of it. You'll see.
So it's like,
Yes, yeah, it's like, quotes.
Oh, I see.
Quotes.
So it's like comma.
Yeah. Yeah, it wants to just tell you, okay, when we give an example for Anuswara, which is just the dot, right? We usually put it above an is the general letter, so a stands for all vowels.
Sorry, okay.
Yeah, that's fine. So, aha iti, achaha, parau, Anuswara visargao.
Okay?
Anuswara. Parau. Anuswara visargao. Can everybody say?
Anuswara.
Does everybody see the parau, parav, parav, parau? Anuswara visargao. Anuswara and visargao. And visarga. The Anuswara, what? Is the dot above the nasal. It's pure nasal. The Anuswara and the visarga. It's a dwandra compound. Anuswara and Visarga, Parau, are after Achaha, the vowel. They come after the vowel. After the vowels. What are Ach vowels, right?
Mm-hmm.
So after a vowel. Aha iti, Achaha, Parau, Anuswara, Visargao. The Anuswara, this is Parau, I mean the Achaha is singular here, genitive, I think. The Anuswara and the Visarga, they Parau, are after a vowel. They follow a vowel, like you have the vowel then you put Anuswara. So it nasalizes the vowel. You have a vowel I, U, etc., put Visarga after that, and that, you know, right? So that's where it's located. Just telling you location here. Do you see it in the Sanskrit, everybody? You see Achaha is singular? Remember, think of declining Marut. If you decline Marut, the nominative and the accusative plural are us, Marutaha, Marutaha. The ablative and genitive singular, Marutaha, Marutaha. You see that? Do you see that?
No, but you know what? I'm not sure I need to see that right now.
Got it. Okay. All this is doing is giving you is showing you the symbol for the Anuswara and the Visarga. Okay? So far, so good? Okay. Now, this sutra we've already had. Everybody recognize it? But let's read through it anyway. What are we doing time-wise? We'll do it for a few more. We'll take a break at 10:30. Repeat after me. Anudik Savaranasya.
Anudik Savaranasya.
Cha Pratyaha.
Cha Pratyaha.
I'm going to break it with a Sandhi. An. Udit Savaranasya Cha Apratyaha. Anybody see it? Now, let me just explain through the sutra before we go into the paragraph here. An is a pratyahara for what? Could be two things.
Could be all the letters.
Not all the letters.
No,
you're thinking of all.
It could be the vowels up until
vowels and semi-vowels starting with.
Yeah. It could be just ayun.
Or it could be
that.
It could be that because this is the only one where that has the same it letter. There's two nakaras, so here it's not the first one. We'll see that in the paragraph here in the basha. Or the little vritti on it. So what it is, yeah, so it includes vowels and semi-vowels. Ayun, rulik, ayung, ayouch, hayavarat, lan. So vowels and semi-vowels. So an is a part of this, and this is the only sutra, apparently, it says in the vritti, and in another vritti as was reading, it's the only sutra where the nakara is the second one. Yeah, this is the only sutra in the Panini where the use of the nakara with a is the second one. It's usually, if the nakara, in all the other instances, when this nakara is used, it's ayun. Ayun.
Oh, I see.
This is the only one where it just means vowels and semi-vowels. Yeah.
This is the only time in the whole sutras this is where that means.
I don't know all of the sutras, but that's what it says in the vritti.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. You have to take their word for it. So this then is the pratyahara for vowels and semi-vowels.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, now, udit. The it letter u. Remember the it letter u?
Mm-hmm.
It stands for, like if you were to take the first letter of any of the sparsha vargas. What's the sparsha varga? Kathrima.
Mm-hmm.
Sparsha. Varga means the groups. So if I were to take the first member of any of the groups, you know, from the guttural on down, for instance, like ku, and I were to add that u to the first member, what would it include? All of them, including the nasal. Ka, ka, ga, ka, nga. So, and in Panini, they use that a lot, and also people who know Panini that are teachers will often use the shortcut. So you're going to have to recognize poo, choo, poo, 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 right? So this says the ungroup and all of the udits, whenever the ukara is used as an it letter, okay? U, udit. What's the da there in the udit? It's ta. And what is the ta?
It's limited to just u.
That's right. The takara, taparasta kalasya, the sutra that we had, the takara limits it to a short u. Otherwise, the savarna letters are going to be included, right? So here, un, udit, savarnasya, cha, apratyayaha. So the un letters and udit letters are for the savarna letters, and coming as an anuvritti, which has to, I like to write that in into this book. You have it in the handout I gave. I put the anuvrittis in. The anuvritti is swarupam, and you will decline the swarupam in the genitive. You know, even though you bring the anuvritti down from previous sutras, it can be declined. You decline it to fit into the sutra in the proper way. So here it would be swarupasya. So here it says the ungroup of letters and the udit letters refer to their savarna letters, to themselves and their savarna letters. The savarna letters are the letters that have the same tulyasya priyatnam savarnam. They have the same stanam. They're made in the same place and they have the same internal effort. Those letters are called technically savarna. We've seen that sutra before. Everybody with me on that? Understanding the definition of suvarna? Savarna?
Oh, yes.
Do you understand, everyone, the definition of savarna? Savarna letter, and what we're going to look again at the savarna letters, but just so that for now you understand, a letter is a savarna letter, means it's homogeneous with another letter, right? Mm-hmm. If it has the same, made in the same place, same asya, and has the same internal effort. Mm-hmm. Everybody remember that? And so what that means is that the savarna letters, like for instance, how many savarna letters would there be for the letter a? So there's 18. Mm-hmm. For the letter il, there's 12. For the h letters. Aung Lai Ouch. You call those diphthongs. So the diphthongs is 12, you know. Okay, so we're going to go through all of that. But and also now for the semi-vowels, the entista, what are those? There's only two for each one because the semi-vowels have also a nasal. And so the ununasika and nasika, right? So because since you have a nasalized semi-vowel of yava and ma, it's going to be two. So these are the savarna letters. Okay for everybody? That's okay. What about the ku group? What about ku letters? Those are all savarna, one with another. The kus. Mm. The chus are savarna. Okay? When are these not savarna? When Panini uses a given letter or vowel as a pratyaya. Pratyaya means an affix. Like say if you say, for instance, the word bud, the verbal root bud, takes the affix it's called. That is not going to include all 18 forms. Yeah. It's only going to be whatever he says it is. Right? So if Panini is giving you an affix, and the affix is made up of a vowel or a savarna, well, letter that has other forms that are homogeneous with it, Those other forms aren't going to be taken into consideration because it's an affix. So that's why he says pratyayaha. A pratyayaha. Everybody see that? So not an affix. Do you know, everybody know that pratyaya means an affix, right? Something that's added on to the verb, to the noun or the verb to... So the pratyaya actually will make something into a usable noun or verb or whatever. It's an affix. Do you see the cha there? Cha. The cha is what brings in the swarupa. So it's savarnasya, swarupasya, cha. Right? So the un letters and udit letters refer to themselves and to all their homogeneous forms.
Can you repeat that?
Yeah. The un letters, which are what? Vowels and semivowels, and udit letters, which are the ka group to the pu group, ka fu pa varga, including the nasals. Those letters, if you see them in a sutra, they will, Panini's using them in a sutra, but not as a pratyaya, except for if he's using it as a pratyaya. Those letters will refer not only to their own form, but to all of their homogeneous forms. So the letter A will refer to all 18 forms of A. The letter Ya will refer to its homogeneous forms like that. Clear?
Except
what's being used as a pratyaya. I think we should take a break and check your cars and everything.
Check cars. Tape again. Okay, here we go.
Okay, repeat after me. We'll read the commentary now underneath this, the Bhashya, the Vritti. Pratiyate vidhiyate iti pratyayaha. Okay, you see the pratyaha in the sutra, so they're defining what a pratyaha is. They take the root pratyate, that which is vidhiyate, means that which is enjoined. And the pratyaya is something which is Panini will enjoin. It means it's going to be something that's going to be given as necessary to add on to the root to form a word. So there's hundreds of them. It's in the passive. Pratiyate means vidiyate. That which is added to, that was that which is enjoined.
So the fact that it's written with hiyata in the
makes it passive.
Book.
See, the A drops off, right?
Okay.
By sundi.
Okay.
Yeah. If you were to do, remember if you were to do the sundi, the A could become ai. And ayt, but then the ya can optionally drop. And
yes.
when it's to external sundi, means not within a word, it that option is almost always used. I very rarely see it with the ya or vakara there. So do you know what I'm talking about? That sundi.
The a dropping before the e.
Yes. Yeah. But what's that? The ayava sundi. The option. It's lopasha kalyasya. It's an option that says you learned that when we do all of the sutras. But the option is the A, when followed by a vowel, any vowel, mm-hmm. will go to I. I, right? And then that yakara mm-hmm. can optionally drop. Mm-hmm. Okay? And if it drops, then the two stay separate. So, pratiyate, vidhiyate, iti pratyayaha. Just define what the pratyaya is. Now, avidhiyamanaha.
Avidhiyamanaha.
Anuditcha.
Savarnasya
sanya syat.
Sanya
syat. So this says avidhiyamanaha, that which is not being enjoined. Means it's not a pratyaya. For that which is not going to be added on as a pratyaya, vidhiyamanaha. An uditcha. Now he's breaking the anudit. Un and udit. Mm. What is the un? Are the vowels and semi-vowels, right?
And udit,
yeah. And udit. So un and udit, which are not being used as a pratyaya. See, the un negates the vidhiyamanaha, it's present participle, present passive participle. abhidhyamanaha un-udicha savarnasya for the savarna letters, sanya syat. It is a sanya, technical term, for the savarna letters. For those letters which are savarna. Okay?
Avidhyamanaha is the...
what?
Sanya is the technical term.
Sanya means a technical term.
Okay.
So, we would just say that it's a sanya. It stands for, it's a technical term in the sutras, which will include all of the savarna letters.
So is avidhyamanaha the...
No, of it, that which is not being used as a pratyaya, that which isn't being enjoined.
Right.
Sanya means technical term.
Okay.
Okay. So what are they saying? If you see an un letter or an udit letter, those letters in English maybe you would say they technically stand for,
okay,
right? All of the savarna letters, including itself. When you say savarna,
okay.
When you say savarna, that is going to include itself. But it comes down that swarupasya comes down as an anuvritti. It's not being said here, but savarna technically does include itself, right? Yeah. Everybody see that? Atra eva an. Parena nakarena.
Parena nakarena.
Nakarena.
Atra eva, only here. Atra means here, eva. We can be only or alone. The idea here is only here, the un, pratyahara, the pratyahara un, parena nakarena, is the, of the pratyahara un, it's the second, right? It's the second, it's the nakara that comes after. It's the following nakara. For the pratyahara un
mm-hmm.
is with the latter nakara, not the former. Remember? Yeah, later. After. It's with the nakara that comes after, not the first nakara. Because remember in the pratyaharas, ayun
mm-hmm.
or hayavara lun. So here only, this unpratyaya is with the one that follows. It's with the nakara. The nakara is the it letter for the na, right? Which comes after, which
so
comes
this
later.
This is the explanation for what you said earlier. Of all the sutras, this is the only place you're going to use that second.
That's right. Yeah. But they're denoting that by the use of Ava here, but if you read it in other commentaries, I'll give you a little bit more than that.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so. Everybody clear? Then read the next one. Ku, chu, tu, tu, pu.
Ku, chu, tu, tu, pu.
Ete, uditaha.
Ete, uditaha.
Ku, chu, tu, tu, pu. Ete, these are the udits. This is where you find this. So this is, these are the udit. There are other udits. These are the udits. See what I mean? Ku, chu, tu, tu, pu. These are the udits. Okay.
Is that what's udit?
Udit is that which has the it letter, it. Short u. Udit.
Oh, okay, it's just defining the line. Okay.
It's what?
Defining the line.
The line. Do you see in the sutra where it says un udit?
Mm-hmm.
And the udit breaks down into ut it, where the takara denotes the short u, remains a short u. And so where do these udits come? They come after these vargas that begin with the ka-tra-ta. If you put the u on, it includes the whole varga from the first to the nasal. All right? Tadevam. A iti ashtadashanam sanya. Tadevam, this being so, or that being so. Evam means being in this manner. In English we'd say that being so, that being in this manner, that being this way. Tad evam. A iti. The akara, the letter a. A iti. Ashtadashanam sanya is a term for the 18, right? Is a term for the 18 Savarna letters. Literally, it just says the letter a iti is a sanya, is a term for 18. That's all it says there. Everybody see it? That being so, a is a sanya, is a term for 18. What do they mean by that 18? Everybody know? The 18 forms, the 18 Savarna forms. It's all those forms are on the previous page. So the 18 Savarna forms. Then, tata, ikara, ukarao. Right, ah from tata, and ikara would be tatekara. A plus E is A. So tata, ikara. Then A plus U is O. So tata, ikara, ukarao. Similarly, ikara and ukara. What does that mean? The letter E has 18 Savarna forms. And the letter U has 18 Savarna forms. And the dual, similarly, ikara and ukara. Dwandva compound. Everybody see that?
Yeah.
Now this is nice. Urekara trimshataha. The rekara, the letter R, has 30. It has 30 Savarna letters. You may not remember this, but this is to take this is a there's a vritti in Panini, not a vritti, a Vartika Sutra in Panini that says the rakara and lakara are considered savarna.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, so it's 12 plus 18.
Yes, that's exactly right. Because even though the sthana is different, nevertheless the sthana is different for r and l. Nevertheless, they're considered to be and dealt with as though they're Savarna. If that's true, that being so, the Rakara has 18 forms and the Lakara has only 12 forms because the Ilkara, the letter Il, has no Dirga. Okay? So that would mean it only has 12. What?
You would equally say that all has 30 Savarnas as well.
Which is going
we're
to just say that.
Because here it comes.
Here it comes.
Evam.
Okay.
Evam, incarnation.
Evam ilkaraha api. In the same manner, evam and tatar, in the same manner, the ilkaraha api also, right? The letter, the lakara also. Okay for everybody? Echaha dvadashanam. What are H letters?
Diphthongs.
Aeongayouch, right? Diphthongs. The H letters, this is nominative plural, dvadashanam, are for 12 Savarna letters. What is Dwadasha? 12. Dwadashanam is in the genitive plural. Why does it say of 12, are for 12 what? It's a sanya for 12. They're leaving out the word sanya because they used it before. So echaha, the diphthongs are a sanya, are technical terms or terms, for 12 Savarna letters. Why? Because The H letters don't have a hreswa. They don't have a short form. They're Dirga and Pluta, but they're not hreswa. Okay? Everybody see it? Next one. Anunasika, un-anunasika, bedena.
Anunasika, un-anunasika, bedena.
Yavala, yavalaha, dvida.
Yavalaha, dvida.
Tena, un-anunasikaha.
Tena, un-anunasikaha.
Te, dvayor, dvayoho, dvayoho, sanyaha. Good. The yor is dvayoho, and the is, so the refa and the is, so dvayoho, dvayoho, sanyaha. Okay? Now, here it says, the anunasika, nasalized, the nasalized, and un-anunasika, non-nasalized, by this division, in English you'd probably say by this division of nasalized and non-nasalized, okay? Ya, va, and la are twofold. There's not a nasalized or a kata. It's not used. So ya, va, and la are twofold because there is a nasalized ya, va, and la, right? There's a nasalized semi-vowel. Right? Everybody remember nasalized semi-vowel? It comes in our sandhi also. So, by the division of anunasika and ananunasika, the yava and la, the letters yava and la, are twofold. Buddha means twofold. Anybody have a problem? Tena, because of that, let's try it because of that or by that. Un-anunasikaha. Those which are anunasika, non-nasalized, the non-nasalized form, are sanyaha for both. When they do a duplication like that, it means for each pair. In English, we just say for each pair. In Sanskrit, they'll say for both. To mean respect for this one, for this pair, they just duplicate it. Dvayoho, dvayoho, sanyaha. Because of that, the un-anunasika, the non-nasalized, is a sanya for both. For both pairs, for each pair.
For which pair, sorry?
Yavala. Right? Yeah, see.
That stands for both.
Yeah, the non-nasalized, like if you have the yakara, that will be a sanya for the savarna forms, which would be ya and nya.
Okay.
So that's the twofold.
Okay.
So both. Dvayoho means for both. For both means what? The nasalized and non-nasalized. Now, the only doubt I had about this that seems to be referring only to the yavala, in fact, all of the letters that are savarna that we're talking about have a nasalized and non-nasalized form. But those are taken into account also when we say, like, there's 12 forms, there's 18 forms. So this could, though, be referring to everything. You know, like, every letter is every single letter, savarna letter, is twofold in the sense that it has a nasalized and non-nasalized. But the problem in it's also hrasu dirgan pluta.
Right,
whereas here, it's whereas yavala, is, there's no hrasu dirgan pluta, right? There's only nasal and non-nasal.
Okay.
Whereas for all of the vowels, there's also nasal and non-nasal, but there's also hrasu dirgan pluta for some of them. So in reading this, though this could be applied to all, I think it's only really referring to the yavala. Do you see what I'm saying? It could refer to all of them. It could refer because it's put in the plural. But since it's but why would it then say both?
Right.
When it says both, then it's limiting to nasal and non-nasal. So.
Do yava and la have the tone, the high tone, low tone?
No, those are only vowels.
Also,
yeah. See, only the vowels, yeah, the Harasu Dirga Kruta, Udata, Anudata, Swarita are only for the vowels. But now we've got these three semi-vowels.
Right.
These three semi-vowels also have a savarna letter in terms only of the nasal.
Mm-hmm.
The others only apply to vowels.
Right. And but these are not savarna. The semi-vowels are not savarna to their corresponding kuku.
No, no. No, they're not.
So only kakha, gagha are savarna to each.
Yeah, because the prayatna, abhyantara prayatna is different.
That's right.
Right? Okay. Chulyasya prayatnam savarnam. Remember?
But the prayatnam for... Sorry, okay, I have to look.
For what were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say, like, you know, y'all has the same... The Chechha group, but the
Abhyantara Prayatnam is different. What's the Abhyantara Prayatnam for the semi vowels? Is Ishad Vivritam.
Sorry, yes.
You got it. So
yeah,
what's the sutra for Savarna? Tulya, the same. Asya, the sthanam, the place where it's made. Prayatnam means Abhyantara Prayatnam. So those have to be the same, right? And so where are they the same? Well, the Ku group. The udit letters are the same.
Yes.
And then for the in the un also, there are savarna letters there to be found. Everybody clear? Yeah? Good. Ready to go on? No. Paraha sannikarshaha samhita. It's just samhita with a ha, takes a ma. This is the technical term for sandhi. What we say sandhi, in the sutra it says samhita, it's the same root. So when it says paraha sannikarshaha, that means the utmost proximity, the closest proximity, that which is closest, the closest proximity is called samhita, same as sandhi. Okay? Paraha, the closest, nearest, sannikarshaha, proximity is samhita. And then it defines here in the little vritti. Everything's in the nominative there. Paraha, sannikarshaha, is samhita. That which is as the closest proximity. If you read like in English, a longer commentary on it, it's the letters come together. When the letters sandhi together, there's like an intervention of a half matra. Somehow they're looking at it like that. But all we have to know, or all I can give you right now, is this is the definition of sandhi. And let's read the little vritti on it.
I'm sorry, so it's that which has the closest proximity to sandhi.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And let's see how they say it in a sentence. Varnanam atishayitaha sannidhihi samhita sanyaha syat. Varna is letter. Of the letters. Atishayitaha. Atishayaha means most extreme. Exceedingly. The most extreme in past passive participle. Sannidhi means proximity. Means most extreme. The very nearest proximity. That which has the very nearest proximity among the letters. That is called sandhi. Let me just read, just so you have a little bit more. I'll read this to you in the English.
Thank you.
Well, this isn't as helpful as I wanted it to be. Let's do what they say. When the words are in Samhita, they are glued together by the rules of Sandhi.
I like that.
But here, making use of the commentary, when he translates the verse, it goes like this. The closest proximity of letters, that's what it actually says. The closest proximity of letters is called Sandhi. Okay. Then he goes, the closest proximity of letters, there being the intervention of half a matra or prosodial length between them, is called contact or samhita. Now, when you have, the only way I make sense of this, I don't know exactly what they mean, I think this is what they mean. If you have a consonant plus a vowel, that consonant is considered a half matra. Right? So the consonant, when it's added with the vowel, then we have, I guess, a
full vowel.
So now when two letters are coming together, they have to come into that amount of time, which I guess would be 1.5 matras minimum, right? Say if the consonant takes up a half matra, and the vowel is one matra, two matra, three matras, right? Then that is the minimum unit of length. And so now in Sandhi, that minimum unit of length has to be what is taking place. So say, for instance, in Sandhi, even if you have like a kakara with an akara,
right.
Now that's a Sandhi taking place. There's a consonant coming together with a vowel.
So that's actually considered Sandhi? So when you just say ka?
Well, technically, because there are two things coming together as opposed to a conjunct consonant. But now when we're thinking of Sandhi, of course, we're thinking like a vowel Sandhi where things actually go through a transformation, right? Or consonant Sandhi or Visarga Sandhi, where things are going through a transformation to come into a particular length. That's what I'm thinking that they mean, anyway. Could be wrong.
Can I ask you something on the prior thing where we said that for the and well, it's only nasal and non-nasal?
That's right.
Why don't they include R in that?
I don't think that the rakara has a nasalized form. That's why. Even though it's included in the pratyahara in usage, it doesn't have any, it doesn't, it's not there.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the only reason, that's the only thing I know, but I had the same thought. But when I think about it, I've never learned it with a nasalized form of it. And here they're not, when I've learned in English and in Sanskrit, I've never learned it with a nasalized form. Right. And here, they're not including it. So whether or not there's some particular sutra also that says you can't include the ra, or if there's a what we call a vartika. Like when you start studying the sutras, you see they have Panini sutras, but then like Katyayana and some other commentators have written vartikas, which are additional sutras that they've added to fill in the missing pieces. Like Swami Brahma Prakashananda told me a story about when all of the Panini Sutras were written. They were written on leaves, right? And some goats ate
the goats.
And so the blanks, there's all of these blanks where the goats ate. So they'll say this must have been eaten by the goats. So they'll supply it by these vartikas. So there may be a vartika there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So let's just take this, though, as for now, just it means that which is in closest proximity, that is called samhita. Okay? Okay for everybody?
Mm-hmm.
These are just definitions, three definitions. Halaha anantaraha samyogaha.
Halaha anantaraha samyogaha.
Samyoga is the word for conjunct consonant. And it says, halaha, nominative, plural. What is the hal pratyahara? Could be two things.
It's a bit hal and semi-hal.
See, that you could use hal to mean all consonants, right? Starting with after uch, hayavarat. But you also have hal at the very end, shesasara hal.
Right.
So hal can refer to just the hakara or to all consonants. from Hayavarat, etc., all the way down to the... Here, ho, halaha is nominative plural. It means all of the consonants. Halaha, nominative plural, anantaraha, with nothing intervening. Anantaraha. Consonants that have nothing intervening are samyogaha, are conjunct consonants. They are called samyoga. Okay. Halaha, anantaraha, samyogaha. Let's see how he explains that. Is everybody okay with the Sanskrit? Halaha consonants, which an and taraha have no space in between, no intervening space, are, understood, samyogaha, conjunct, conjoined, conjunct. We just say conjunct consonants. Now, ajbihi, avyabhita, halaha, samyoga sanyaha suhu.
Samyoga sanyaha suhu.
Okay. Not the ice cream man. Okay. What do you think ajbihi is?
Oh, aj.
Yeah. Plus bihi. Instrumental plural. Right? Aj. Plus bihi, which you've got a hard consonant ch, followed by a soft consonant. So, aj bihi would be aj bihi. Okay? So, what does it mean, instrumental plural? Let me find the next word. Let's read this next part first. Avyavihitaha, if I forgot, I think I forgot to put the sarga there. Avyavihitaha, halaha, nominative plural. Consonants, which are not separated. Vyavahita, we use that, Shankara uses that all of the time when he's doing, when he's talking about the word order of a verse. Sometimes, like the verb is way over here at the end of the verse, and the noun is over here at the beginning of the verse, and when he puts it in the word order, you know, he'll say, these two words are separated, they belong together. Like that. Or if you've got a genitive over here, but it should be referring to this noun over here with all of these words in between, you'll say these words that are separated have to be brought together. So here, what he's saying, they are avyavahitaha. Avyavahitaha. Hala. Consonants which are not separated by vowels. Ajbihi. By vowels. Ajbihi. Not separated. Consonants which are not separated by vowels are to be called suhu, potential third person plural, should have the sanya, samyoga, conjunct consonant. Everybody see that? Consonants not separated by vowels have the term samyoga. So now we've got samhita and samyoga. So this last one. Sup ting antam padam.
Sup ting antam padam.
Okay, this defines the word pada. A pada is a word. What is a word? When we say, what is a pada? What is a word? A word is that which ends in sup or ting. Sup, ting, antum, ends. So a word which ends, antum, in sup or ting. I had written in one of the handouts I gave you, I think I wrote the sup affixes, su, au, jes, is, au, us, you know, teeth, and for the verbs, ti, ta, anti. The verb endings, if we were to put all of the verb endings, which they do, in a sutra, it's called, it's ting. It begins with T and it ends with the it letter ng. So if I say ting, the word ting, remember ti, taha, anti?
Yes.
Present, parasmai for the present. So there is a sutra that lists all of the verbal endings. And it's and the sutra begins with T and ends with the it letter ng. So ting stands for all of the verbal endings. Sup, there's a sutra that begins with su, su au jus. Remember, if I decline the nouns, su au jus is au us or whatever it is. It's actually au us or something. Su au jus au us. Nya bjam bjes, all these. If I begin with su and end with the pratyahara, with the it letter pa, we get soup. So soup are all of the nominal endings. So soup endings, nouns. A word that ends in soup endings or a word that ends in ting endings, that is a pada.
Well, what about something like atra or tatra? Or, you know, these are not...
There's another word for those indeclinables. They're called avyaya. I don't think so.
Okay.
I think the padas are for the soup and ting, and then there's other words for these indeclinables.
Right. Yeah. So let me just see if I have this right. So ting is all the endings on verbs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then soup are all the endings that we put on nouns.
That's right.
Okay.
And so an anta means ending. So a word is that which ends in soup or ting. Everybody see that?
And then this is a Sunday tune, really, is the palo ending. And then the Sunday takes it to
soup.
The guttural.
Where's the guttural?
What? The word.
Ting?
Ting.
Nga. It should be that. It should be nga. Ting.
It isn't actually palatal.
It's not palatal.
Mm.
No, it's an it letter, nga, ting. Soup, ting, nga, guttural nga. Why, did you think that the pratyahara...
This is what I'm going to show this to you. You know, I don't remember where I got this, but this is a derivation, you know, on one side of the dhatu going to a verb and a dhatu going to a noun, and the ting part.
Oh, I think that's a mistake.
Okay, that's what I'm asking. Because if that's a mistake, I should...
Yeah, let me look it up, okay?
Yeah, I'm almost positive that, but since you say that, I can easily look it up here. Just a second.
No,
I don't think that's...
It's good to know, because that's something I've been carrying forward for about 6 years now.
Handing it out to a lot of people?
Well, maybe I've been carrying it forward for years, so I don't think so, though. Let me just check.
If I had to make a little wager.
But there must be some verbal ending that ends in...
Like, here's ting shit sarvadatta. Let me find the sutra for you.
But is it because... a palatal can't end, and so it's going to go to the guttural?
No, the nga, no. The nga is the it letter.
Oh, it's the it letter.
Yeah, so I want to show you the whole sutra. Let me just, if you just give me a sec, I'll find it for us. I think it's 3478. There's a long sutra. Tip, test, G, sit, test, ta. Goes all the way through, starting with tip. And it ends with mahing. See this? So this T is the first letter, and the na, the na is the last letter.
Uh-huh. So this is actually a pratyahara for all endings, verb
exactly.
How cool.
It's completely
so
cool.
Nice to know this.
Yes, very nice. Let's see if I can find it in a little bigger print here.
So that's where that gets derived from.
Yeah.
Mm. And then so soup is the same because it's soup and then ending in the
That's
cup.
Exactly right. Here. Let me show you. Like this here.
This is a whole sutra.
Right.
And here's, you know where it says tip there?
Yep.
And how it ends in Mahing. Mm-hmm. You see Mahing?
Yeah, so that's the whole pratyahara.
So Ting includes all of this. Mm-hmm.
Now, what is Anki in this? In the
There's changes that each one goes through under the sutras.
Oh, yeah.
PG.
Okay, everybody have their new book? This book? Go to page 8 on this. See, at the bottom of this here?
Yeah.
You see? Mm-hmm. At the very bottom, there's the ting. And do you see on the bottom here? You see ting starts with a T there and ends with na? Mm-hmm. And soup starts with su. That's su-ao. That's is a Sunday rule. Right? And ends with pa. Even though at the end it's soup, but it also begins.
Yeah.
But when they say soup, they're starting with the initial soup.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? Yeah. So soup, ting, antam, padam. Mm-hmm. A pada, is that what ends in soup or ting?
Oh, nice.
And now the thing is, with these two soups, you memorize these, right? But of course, each one is going to go through all of these modifications.
But that's what you like said. You don't see anki in the thing.
You don't, because it'll say, you know, in the present tense, there's changes to that and that like that. Mm. And in the atmanepada, in the potential, we'll use it like this. There's all kinds of sutras that modify this.
Right.
But these are the what they call the prakriti, the primary ending, the prakritis. Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very neat.
Yeah, so this is good to know.
Yeah. Oh, well. We all have to have sympathy for each other because, I mean, to really master and learn all of this as a Western, it's really pretty tough, but it's so beautiful. It's worth doing our best with it. Okay?
Finish the first
chapter. We finish it. Now, let's talk a little bit about what you all can do, because I think it's going to take me at least 2 weeks to get into a position where I'm being responsible.
We didn't do the last one, maybe, so then something.
Oh, no, I forgot. Let's do that. You should be able to read it yourself, actually. Mm-hmm. Repeat after me. Subantam. Tingantam cha. Padasanyam syat. What? Soup antam, ending with soup. Ting antam cha, and ending in ting. Padasanyam syat. You have the padasanya. Right? Words, that which ends in soup and that which ends in ting has the technical term pada.
And over here they say syat. Syat
is a syat is a potential verb form of us. That means it just means that is definitely what it is. They should be termed as a pada.
But what I mean is that oftentimes they don't do the is right.
Oftentimes.
So it's potential in its
third person singular
sense of potential.
Yes. Yes.
Potential has that. Meaning a stricture. It should be this way. As
exactly.
opposed to it might be this
no,
way.
It should
this
be.
This is a stricture sense. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, everybody? So now, if I take at least two weeks off, I'll let you know by email, but that's what I'm planning right now. Then if you can all really catch up and study the Sunday rules with examples and everything, Penny can give you that. It'd be wonderful. I'll look for that Sunday Chandrika right now and see if I can find it for you.
Okay. Well, as I said, I have some just very simple sentences that are not no Sundays.
And you put them in.
And you guys put them in. It's kind of the opposite of recognizing the Sundays and then breaking them, but it's a good exercise to do it the other way around as well.
And that's a really good idea. The Sunday Chandrika is just for you. Well, actually, after we do the Sundays with the sutras, that Sunday Chandrika actually refers to all of the sutras. But once we do the sutras, we'll go ourselves and do the Sunday Chandrika. So I don't know if it'll be that useful for you now, but it might be. As long as you can just have it in your file. We okay then?
I think so.
Let's stay pretty. Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.